Your Bibles, please turn with me to our scripture reference for this morning, and this is found in the Gospel of Luke, and Luke chapter 6, and reading verses 27 to 38. This is Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 38, and hear now the Word of God. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, so do to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And may God add to our understanding this portion from his holy word. You know, sometimes you see things in a magazine, or you see things maybe on the internet or whatever, of somebody who really has talent or ability, and you think, gosh, I wish I could be like that. I wish I could make something like that. And I can remember back years ago, In my first pastorate, really, I happened to be reading this magazine, and it had plans in there for this table. And it was a very different kind of a table, because the back of the table, the tabletop, would lift up, and it would form a seat, a chair. And then you put it down again, and it would have places for about four people to sit. And I thought, that is so cool. I really like that. I'll bet I could build one of those. And so I went to a lumber yard, and I bought the wood that it specified, and I started into it, and I realized, you know, I probably need a little bit more direction on this. And I happened to be looking, and the community college there in that area was offering a night class on how to build furniture. And I thought, well, this is great. You know, and so I signed up for the course, and I went there, and the first night they handed out a syllabus. And I thought, well, this is strange. I thought they were just going to show us what to do. They handed out a syllabus, and I was looking through the syllabus, and I noticed that there was an entire chapter on sanding. And I thought, you've got to be kidding me. Sanding? How boring. We're going to spend a whole night just talking about how to sand? It turned out that was absolutely the best class of all. I mean, I really enjoyed it, because it not only went into the types of sandpaper, it talked about sanding with the grain, and talked all of these different things about how to really sand and make it great. By the way, I never did build that table. I gave up after three or four times. I think I spent more on the wood than I would have paid for the whole table if I'd bought it. But anyway, I am not a woodworker. But you know, in many ways, this kind of parallels God's plan for us and God's plan for the church. You know, the purpose, God's purpose with the church and God's purpose with his body on earth is not to make us happy. And I don't care what you hear on the internet, I don't care. God's goal is not to make us happy. God's goal is to make us more like Jesus. That's his purpose. in all of this. You know, we've said it before, and I just believe it's really true, and that is, if God's only reason to have us here on earth was to save our souls, then as soon as we were saved, he'd take us out. He'd take us to be with him in heaven. But he doesn't. He leaves us here. And part of the reason that he leaves us here is to help us become more and more like Jesus here on earth. And you know, the truth is that all of us have rough edges. We come from different backgrounds. We come from different theologies and philosophies and whatever. So sometimes we have very rough edges. Sometimes because of the way we grew up or the place where we grew up, you know, we've learned to do certain things and it creates a rough edge. And what God wants to do is to kind of sand down those rough edges, to make them smooth, to make them like Jesus. When you look at Jesus and you realize who he was and what he did here on earth, even though he was perfect, he was still hated. But it wasn't because of his abusive character or because of anything he said or did apart from what God told him to do. So we have these rough edges. So how does God deal with these rough edges? Well, in a way, God uses his own kind of sandpaper. It's spiritual sandpaper on us. He uses difficulties. He uses irritations to sand down those rough edges and to make us the people that he wants us to be. And many times, these irritations come from other people. People in the neighborhood, people at work, sometimes people at church. Irritations. And he uses these to help us overcome the struggles that we have in this life. I know that's hard to understand, but I want you to think about what Jesus said in the passage that we read just before this, when he talked about the fact, I say to you, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. I have to ask you, is that normal? I mean, is that human nature to want to? No, it's not. In fact, it's the very opposite of human nature. And yet that's what Jesus told us to do. The church is kind of the proving ground for what we say we believe. And that is, if we claim to hold to these truths, are we willing to live them out, even though it may be contrary to our nature? See, the Apostle Paul talked about this. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 17 to 19. And he's writing to the church in Corinth, and they had certainly had their share of problems. But he said this. This is verses 17 to 19. But in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it's not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear there are divisions among you. And I believe it in part. For there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. So what Paul is saying is, I understand that there are disputes and disagreements among you, and for the most part, I believe it, but here's the thing. These things must exist so that those among you who are approved may become evident. That's basically what he's saying to them. He speaks about divisions. He speaks about factions in the church. The reason is so that these things can come to the surface and that God can begin his work through his Holy Spirit to make us more like Jesus. The goal was not to kick people out of the church. It wasn't to abuse people. It was to recognize that God is doing a work here. And he's not finished. He continues to sand down the rough edges. And as he does, as he sands down the rough edges, over time we become more and more like Jesus. So why is God so concerned that we all be like Jesus? Because that's the way that God chooses to bless his church. That's the way he blesses his people. When we shake our fist at God, when we do what's called kick against the goads, when God's trying to help us and encourage us and strengthen us, and we're just fighting against God, he's not blessing us. We have to be willing to allow God to do his work, to make us the people that he wants us to be. So this ultimate purpose that God has in the church, in our church, in every church that places Jesus Christ as the leader, as the shepherd of his people, is to make people like him, like Jesus. And here's the problem. No one changes voluntarily. Nobody says, well, that sounds like a good idea. I think I'll change. That's not reality. We don't change because we want to. We change because we're called on to do it. Because in the long run, we have to. We have to change. If everything was fine and we were absolutely happy with the way we were, well, there would be no reason to try to pursue the Lord. So how does the Lord bring it to the surface? Well, he gives us irritations. He places people in our lives that cause all this to come up to the surface. It's like, now I've got to deal with this. Yeah. Yeah, you do. God's pointing to areas in our lives that need to be dealt with, that need to be changed. And this is done by God's Holy Spirit. And here's the thing. If we search our hearts and just ask ourselves the question, what kind of person is it that really gets to me, that really irritates me the most? What kind of person is that? You see, that's an indication of what God wants to work on in our hearts. And it's like, why is it that everywhere I go, I meet the same kind of person who says things or does things that really irritate me? Because God's Holy Spirit is pointing to that area. And he's saying, this is a rough spot. You need to sand it down. It needs to be sanded. You know, David, when David prayed, King David, he said, you know, search me and try me, O Lord, and see if there be any hurtful way within me. Well, why do you suppose he did that? Do you think that just came on the whim? No. It's because he recognized he had rough spots and he wanted to deal with them. He wanted to be everything that God had called him to be. And he knew he wasn't there yet. Now, here's the thing. God uses these irritations as spiritual sandpaper because we're not able to change our circumstances and we're not able to change other people. We can't make other people the way we think they should be. So that leaves it up to us. The only thing we can change is our attitude, is the way we approach these problems, these difficulties, these struggles. That's really the only thing that we have available to us. And how do we do that? We have to look inward. And we have to say, Lord, I seem to have a problem with this kind of personality, with this kind of individual. Keep meeting them everywhere I go. These people just drive me crazy. The Lord may be saying, okay, now we can begin. Now we can identify what your need is, and we can begin to work on that. You know, this is why in Scripture over and over again, we're told within the body of Christ to love one another. Now, I know the passage that we read this morning had to do with enemies. Well, think about it this way. If Jesus himself, who's the Lord of the church, if Jesus himself said, you need to love your enemies, all right, an enemy, somebody that abuses you, somebody that despitefully uses you, somebody that typically in the church, we're not enemies. In fact, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. So how much more does it count for us? How much more responsibility do we have to grow through these situations and circumstances so that we can reflect Jesus in our lives? The Bible even tells us that love itself covers a multitude of sins. This is in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. It says this, 1 Peter 4, 8, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Now, we heard Jesus say this morning, well, what good is it if you love people that already love you? There's no benefit in that. Even the ungodly do that. So what's he talking about here? This love that he's saying here, the word that he's using is that word agape. And it doesn't mean I love you because of. It means I love you in spite of. That's the command that Jesus gave to the body of Christ. I'm going to love you even if you abuse me. I'm going to love you even if you say ugly things to me. I'm going to love you even though you've done something that's so hard for me to forgive. And yet, by God's grace, I'm going to forgive. That's hard. It's not natural. It's not natural, man. It's unnatural for us to be able to do that. But that's our mark. That's the mark of the believer, that you love one another. You know, we have different responses to irritation. When something really gets to us, just really irritates us. And typically, the first is what's called a defensive response. We want to defend ourselves. I'm not guilty of that. I didn't say that. I'm not there. Nothing's wrong with me. The problem is somewhere else. You know, there was a book written some time ago called I'm Okay, You're Okay. Any of you remember that? And one of the designations was, I'm okay and you're not okay. And what that says is that there's nothing wrong with me. The problem is you. And that's a typical human response. And really, when people react this way, what it does is to give birth to insensitivity. They begin to ignore other people and they begin to withdraw. That's normal. That's the natural reaction, human reaction to that. It's a refusal to assume responsibility for anything. It's not me. I didn't do it. There was a Saturday Night Live skit with Martin Short where he did that all the time. Everything that came to him, he kept saying, well, it's not me. It's not me. It must be him. It's him, right? It's him. And it's funny because that's what we do. That's what we do. But when we do that, when we refuse to accept responsibility within the body of Christ, what we're doing is cracking the foundation of the church. And if you have a cracked foundation, over time, the church is going to crumble. Some of you may have seen pictures of the houses in Buxton, North Carolina, on the beach. And how I think to date about 10 or 11 houses have already crumbled. And you can see that the beach has washed away under them, and all you have are these sticks coming up, and have this big old house standing on sticks. And it just takes the right wave at the right moment. It's going to knock those sticks out, and that whole house is going to come down into the sea. Well, that's what happens when you have a church where people attack one another, or talk about one another, or say things to one another. It gives cracks in the foundation. But God has a different approach to this. This is what Jesus is talking about here. And first of all, he's saying you need to recognize the source of the irritation. Why does this bother you so much? Why does it hurt so much? Sometimes it's because we're a family and we love each other. And so when somebody says something critical or harsh or whatever, it hurts because it's like, well, this is my brother or this is my sister, and I don't understand this. I don't understand why this would happen. And so it hurts. Like that song says, you always hurt the one you love. It's true. So we ask, what is God doing here? Why does this bother me so much? What's it pointing to? What's the rough spot that needs to be sanded so that I can get past this? See, the truth is God has a plan for his church. God has a plan for Malvern Hills Presbyterian. And the plan is that we would all be tied together as one, that we would be interconnected. I saw this illustration. I thought it was so great. This is the church, what God intends the church to be. And that is that along the coast, there are certain trees that grow along the coast, and all of these trees have interconnected roots. Their roots are all come together. And when a hurricane comes, or heavy winds, or terrible weather, the trees may bend all the way over to the ground, but they never get blown away. And the reason why is because all the other trees are also being blown over. They're all connected inside. And this is called an osculation. Big word, but what it means is they're all interconnected. And this is what God wanted the church to be. He wanted us to all be interconnected to one another. And when this person hurts, that person hurts. In fact, Paul calls it the body. And all the body parts are tied together. So if you stub your toe, your arm hurts. Not really. You hurt all over. Really. But that's the way the body of Christ is. And you see, when we're individual, when we separate from everybody else, and we allow irritations to drag us down and take us away, we're like those giant oaks here in Asheville during Hurricane Helene that just blew over. Hundreds and hundreds blew over. Why? They weren't connected. They had a big root ball on the bottom, and it rained for days and softened it up, and then those winds came and those trees just went right over. And that's a picture of the church. Without interconnection, without loving one another and helping one another and doing what we can to support one another. That's what it's all about. You know, without a doubt, there are times when we get upset with things, when people say things or do things that makes us very sad or very unhappy. And I have to tell you something, that's because we're a family. And I don't know of any family that doesn't have issues. Every year about this time, people are looking at Thanksgiving thinking, oh no, I got to go to another Thanksgiving. My family's going to be there. I know what to expect. This is what's going to happen. And so they don't want to go because they've been there before and they know what's happening. And the church is the family. We're a family. And things can be said, things can be done that are hurtful. Yeah, it happens. But you see, Jesus, as the Lord of the church, said, this is what has to be done. See, he anticipated that this was going to take place. In two different places in the book of Matthew, Jesus speaks about what you need to do when you realize you've hurt somebody else or somebody else has hurt you. He covers all the bases. The first one is found in Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. And it says this, so if you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Now, why would that be so important? Why? Because you see, that's the beginning of the crack. And Jesus said, don't let that happen. Don't let it continue. Deal with it. Just deal with it. You realize you've done something to hurt your brother, go to him and ask for forgiveness. You say, well, what about if they do something to me? Okay, that's covered in Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 17. And it says this, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. You see the wisdom there? In other words, it's not a group effort. If somebody has hurt you, you have a responsibility to go to them and tell them what you said or what you did was very hurtful to me. Truth is, just like brothers and sisters, you don't always realize the impact of what you've said or done. And unless that person comes to you and says, you've said this and you did this and it really hurt my feelings. It hurt me. Go to him. And then he says, if he listens to you, you've gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. So what he's saying is, if you go to that person just dismisses you. Okay, then that's when you need to go and bring somebody else with you. I think in our denomination, probably an elder or the pastor. Go and then talk to him about it. And it says, if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. There's a procedure here. And Jesus set it up because he knew these things would take place. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. In other words, as a non-Christian, as a heathen. And you know, the whole goal of that is not to get your own way. The goal of that is to restore fellowship within the body of Christ. It's very important. It's essential. You know, and Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 18, he made this statement, inasmuch as it's been given unto you, be at peace with all men. And when I was a new Christian, I remember this real clearly. I read that and I thought, well, apparently God hasn't given it to me to be at peace with that person because they're driving me crazy. That's not what it says. It's saying, because of the fact that you've already been given everything you need to be at peace with that person, now be at peace with them. Cover it over with love. Love covers a multitude of sins. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7, Paul talks about the fact that love covers, not just covers a multitude of sins, but he says this. This is 1 Corinthians 13, 7. Love bears all things and it endures all things. And what that means is, in one translation it said, love hardly notices a wrong suffered. And I know there are probably some people that say, you know what, it's easy for you to say that. You're the pastor of the church. Here's the truth. I'm every bit as vulnerable as anybody else. And if I do something to hurt you or offend you, I would expect you to come to me and tell me. Many times, as a pastor, people have come to me and expressed their grievances with me. I've shared this one thing before, but I'll share it again. And when I was new in the pastorate, I had a woman that came to me, and you know, it started off graciously, but then it just kept getting worse and worse. And she kept saying, you know, I don't know who you think you are. I don't like the way you preach. I don't like the things you're saying. And she just went on and on. And I mean, she read me the riot act. And I finally got so frustrated, I just said, now listen, just because you're my mother, you can't say things like that. I hope my brother in Fort Lauderdale's hearing this. And you know what? He'd say, yeah, that's true, that's true. Here's the thing, we're commanded as the body of Christ to love one another, not because of, but in spite of, to pray for one another. And when you have a problem with someone, it may be indicating the fact that this is an area in my heart I need to work on. Lord, reveal it to me. Search me and try me, O Lord, and see if there's any hurtful way within me. Because what the Lord wants for all of us here in the body of Christ is to be at peace with one another and to love one another. And it's not because of. There are going to be issues. There will always be issues. We have storms coming at us as the body of Christ, where if we are not interconnected and holding on to one another and building strong relationships with one another, we'll be destroyed. A lot of churches already have been. But part of what holds us together is the body. Here's what Paul said. This is in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is what we've been called to, the body of Christ. This is who we are. I believe we need to take the Lord seriously. And I want to share again, this is not because of any situation that currently exists in the church. I feel like this is for all of us. So I would urge you, don't be thinking, well, this is for that person or that. No, it's for us. It's for me, primarily, as your pastor. Because I want to love every one of you with all my heart. That's what Jesus puts in us as the body. So I would encourage you, take it to heart, pray about it, and see if there are ways that we can do just as we're commanded to do, and that is with all humility and gentleness and patience to bear one another in love. Let's bow as we pray. Gracious Father, again, we thank you and praise you so much that you've called us together to be your body here on earth. Lord, we know that we're not glorified yet. We know that we have problems and difficulties and struggles. I pray, Lord, by your Spirit, that you would help us to grow, that we would grow in our likeness to Jesus. I pray for each person here and ask your blessing on this time together, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, at least I had steel-toed shoes on again. I need to get a pair that I wear every single Sunday, Wednesday, and everything. Different colors, just so my toes are hurt. Don't get hurt. But now, if you would, please stand and we'll sing our last song. It will be number 164, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. We'll sing the first two verses now, and the last one after the benediction.
May grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with those who love him. Amen.